Tonight's shiur, Parshas Hazinu, Shabbat Shuva, coming up, Tzlili Nishmas, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, Rav Chaim, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh. The beginning of the Seder, Zinu Shemai Badaber, Shemara Simrei Fi, Yarof Kamatar Likhi, that the Likhi is referring to Lechach Tov, the Torah, that my teachings of the Torah drops like rain. So Rav Simcha Bunim said the mashal to rain and the Torah is just like rain. Rain falls on vegetables, whatever it might be, trees, vegetation. And when the water falls, you don't immediately see anything. Right? You don't see that it benefiting the vegetables, the vegetation. However, give it some time. Right, it definitely has an effect, and then eventually the thing grows and blossoms, etc. But immediately, a few seconds after it falls, you don't see anything. So to the Torah, you're a person learning Torah, he puts in the effort, he's learning, he says, well, I've learned now, what happened to me? I'm the same person I was. You don't realize it, it's just like the rain. The rain has an effect on things later, sometimes it takes a while to come out. So to the Torah, it has an effect on the person that sometimes only comes out a little bit later. Eventually he sees. The main part of the shiur, like the focus on, is on this next pasuk, and that is Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Dalet Hatsur Tamim Palo Kichol Drachav Mishpat Kelim Unavei Navel Tzadik VeYasharu. That Hashem is Tamim Palo, His works are perfect. Kichol Drachav Mishpat, His ways are of justice. Kelim Unai is a God of faith. VeYinavel, there's nothing wrong, no iniquity. And he's tzaddik v'yasharu. Hashem is righteous, He's fair. So, famous word from Yitzhak Blazer. He says, what kind of a praise is this? Hashem is righteous and fair. Hashem is fair. Of course, that's what you can say about Hashem. He's fair. And of course He's fair. He's going to do things, He's a chas v'shalom ramai. Of course everything, Hashem is fair. What's Pasuk telling us? So he says a famous idea. That based in down here, when courts, based in whatever it might be, when they judge a person, they can only judge the person as it relates to him himself. In other words, he did something wrong, they say, oh, how bad it was, and accordingly they punish him. A little bit bad, it might give him a fine of some money, it was worse, put him in jail, very bad, maybe a life sentence. Okay, but it's strictly focused on that person. That's basically what else are they supposed to do. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He judges, He takes into account everybody, everything and everybody. So in other words, if you have this, let's say, person, and he did something wrong, so the court will say, okay, you did something wrong, jail, 5 years. What about the guy's poor wife? What about his kids? Is he going to be without a father? How about his boss? They're losing this employee, etc., etc., etc. So, what are we supposed to do? How can we take this all into account? We can't. Well, he's something wrong. He goes to jail. All these people affected. But Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't work that way. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't give out any punishment unless everybody that's involved and suffers in some way or not is deserving of that suffering. Right. So, if this person gets Rechamah Lezon sick, so then his boss, is going to suffer. It must be that this boss also deserves that punishment of having his employee, not come in that day or whatever. And his wife is suffering because, is her husband's home and this and that problem. Okay, so she's deserving it also. Kids, whatever it might be, neighbor, whoever's involved, anybody suffering, and to the degree that they're suffering, it's all supposed to be that way. They're deserving of it. And therefore, if they were not deserving of it, then it won't happen. In other words, any one of those people, obviously the cheshbon is fantastic. You think this guy is ill sick, all the people that might be, can interconnected to all this, every single person has to deserve how they're feeling and to the degree that they're feeling it. This guy's a little bit more upset because he's deserving to be that much upset because of this happening, and this guy's covering every single thing. And if any one of those details didn't fall into place, Hashem says, well, I can't make the guy sick now. Because this his neighbor's neighbor, because when he finds out, he's going to be a little bit upset, and he doesn't deserve it. Okay, the whole thing's canceled. Right? It's unbelievable. So Mela, that's what we're saying, that Hashem is tzadik v'yashar, but fair. But that's really being fair. And in fact, I saw a very interesting point. The Shulchan Aruch, based on this, Shulchan Aruch points out that there's an inyan to fast on the yortzeit of a parent. Okay, on the day of each year, when this comes to yortzeit, many people fast on the yortzeit. So, explain, what's the idea? Unbelievable, based on this. Meaning, the fact that this person's father died on that day, that son, is something wrong with the son. Why? Because obviously the son suffered and had his father die on that day. How could that happen? He's not deserving of it. Must be. He was deserving of it. Meaning, the fact that he suffered such a blow on that day, how could Hashem let it happen? How could Hashem let the father die and have this poor boy affected? It must be that the boy deserved it. I mean, he did something also pretty bad to deserve to suffer on that day. I mean, Mela, every yortzeit, you're fasting because you're wanting a kapara, because obviously that guy did something wrong that day also, to having suffered, having his father lost. Otherwise, father wouldn't have died if he was perfect. Unbelievable. They say also, as we are now, Erev Rosh Hashanah, literally, they bring down that this is one of the ways to be Zochan Din. You know, they have all kinds of these pamphlets come out, everything. How to be Zochan Din? What some things you can do to try to get a good din on Rosh Hashanah? So they bring down, this is one of the things, right? Because since that's the case, it says the more people that you know, the more people that you have an influence on, more people that need you, that like you, whatever, will make your din better. Why? For this point. Right? If you're a loner, and you know, nobody knows you, nobody heard of you, nothing, you're all alone in a room, and okay, so Hashem says, well, I can make you sick, I can punish you, I can give you a bad day. Why? Because I can affect anybody. Right? It's very easy. Right? But we said, if anybody's affected, Hashem can't, you know, give you a bad day. Right? Because he doesn't deserve it. So the more people that you know, we said, you have more friends and acquainted people, you're noach l'brios, and people like you, and etc., and you have a lot of friends, and you do even more if you're constantly doing things, you're doing things for the tzibur, you're helping people, whatever. So everybody needs you. So if you, chas v'shalom, anything should happen to you, it would be a big blow to all these people. And again, Hashem would not let that happen unless every single person deserves it. That's very hard, right? Very hard. Every single person is going to deserve it. So therefore, the more you're ish tzibur, and you help people, and you like, and people like you, etc., that's definitely a way to get a good din on Rosh Hashanah. However, we know that many times we say everything's cheshbon now, like we said, to the nth degree, but unfortunately we don't know at all, we don't see it all, we don't understand it all. It's hard for us to understand. Especially the famous Hadith for Ralo, how do you know righteous suffer? The Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. There was once a child that he had this terrible, terrible, terrible allergy. So let's say to meat, for example. Okay, terrible allergy for meat, and he ate meat once, and whoa, here you see, he fainted, and all the doctors, and this was an emergency situation. But they found out what the cause was. It was his allergy to meat. So, of course, from that day on, the parents were very careful not that their chas v'shalom, you know, their child shouldn't eat meat. And one day, the parents had to go away. Okay? And so they warned the people, the babysitters, you know, make sure we're going away for a few days. No meat. You know, keep the kid away from meat or whatever. Anyways, but the kid, you know, smelled some yummy steaks on the barbecue, right? He couldn't help himself, and when they weren't looking, he grabbed the bit. What happened? Again, he passed out, called the doctors. Now already, this was much more serious, because it was the second time, and it was life or death situation, the doctor got involved. Oh, they saved the kid's life. Miracle. So, the father then made a sudas hoda, right? A suda of thanks to Hashem that saved his son's life, you know. And he invited everybody except for the son. Why? Because they are serving fleishiks. He didn't want their son to be at the meal, you know. So the son, you know, smells the food, he comes in, and the father says, get out of here, leave the house. So, you know, people didn't understand, they're sitting there, kicking out your own son, you don't invite to your suda, you know, how could you do such a thing? That's not fair, you know, it's not right. There it is, it's very right, because chas v'shalom, the kid would eat again, goodbye. You know, so, we don't understand, but it's a beautiful mashal, one of my favorites. Similarly, it's the mashal of a kid. You know, we have this idea about we don't understand it, that we don't understand things. So it was once a kid, he gets on a bus, and a cute little kid, a five-year-old kid or whatever, and the bus driver starts schmoozing with him. He says, hey, you know, nice little, you know, cute little kid. So kid asks the bus driver and says, you know, can you do me a favor? So he said, bus driver says, sure, you know, what would you like? So he says, can you, get into an accident? So the bus driver's like, what? He says, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, you asked me if I, you know, you told me you'd give me something, and I'd like you to get into an accident. What are you, no, I'm not going to get into an accident. He goes, why? Why you get, please get in an accident? He says, why accident? He says, well, I don't know, my parents talk about it. He heard on the radio, this, you know, accident on the 443, and this, and, the, you know, backup is a big accident. I always hear accident. I want to know what an accident is, you know. Is that something on the street with cars and buses and things? So I want you to get into an accident. I want to see what an accident is. He says, forget it. I'm not going to get into an accident. The kid starts crying, it's not fair, not fair, not fair. So we're the same way. We're like the little kid, you know. We cry for things, we want things. Hashem, give us this, give me that. Hashem says, no, I'm not going to give you that. As far as Hashem concerned, that's like an accident. That's the worst thing you can possibly have, right? We don't understand it, and we're crying, we're asking for it, begging for it. We're like children, we're immature. We just have to trust that whatever Hashem does is for the best. Like the Chafetz Chaim also once bumped into a person, and he said, so, you know, how are things going? So the guy answered. He says, "It wouldn't hurt if it would be a little better, you know." So Chafetz Chaim says, "How do you know?" He says, "What do you mean it wouldn't hurt if it was better? Of course it would hurt if it was better. Wouldn't hurt if it was better. That's basically saying that it's not the best it could be right now, right? It could be better, but that's not true, right? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu made your matzah the way it is right now, it's obviously the best it can possibly be." So if it was meant to be, you should have this, more or less, or whatever you have, Hashem would give it. Hashem loves you. Hashem wants the best for you. Always gives you what you need. So therefore, it couldn't be better. It's the best it can possibly be. Another mashal, Chafetz Chaim, also one of my favorites. There was once a wealthy man, and he was a very, you know, yashar digger person, and, you know, ran his business properly, everything, his Torah, mitzvahs. He comes to Olam HaEmes, and he's expecting, you know, going to Gan Eden, why not? You know, he pretty much did what he was supposed to do in this world. And however, they say, not so fast, you're not going in. This is why. He says, well, once there was this poor man or whatever, and he was getting on your nerves a little bit, and you smacked him. You smacked him across the face. You know, you embarrassed him or whatever. Because of that act, you're going to have to go down as a Gilgal to, you know, Misakein this Vera. Till then, you can't get into Gan Eden. He goes, oh, no, come on, please, I don't want to go back down again, no. So, yeah, sorry, you know, you smacked the guy that. No, who knows? Okay, that was it. Who knows? I'm going to go back down again. I might do another, 20,000 of errors, you know, besides other things. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. He says, you got to go back. So he says, okay. So at least do me a favor. So what? He says, if I'm going to go back already, give me a chance to, you know, pass. In other words, he says, don't make me rich, because if I'm rich, you know, I'm haughty and this, I smack the guy because, you know, so make me poor, you know, so I won't have this, you know, Yetzer Hara. And you know what? He says, better. Besides that, make me come into the world without any arms. You know, this way I won't smack anybody. You know? So then I'm asking, you know, go back then. So the Satan's there and says, come on, what the hell, big deal, right, you're going to go down, come down poor with no hands, we're going to test, that's kind of a test, see if you're going to slap, smack somebody, you know, forget it, you're not going down like that, that's not a test. And he said, no, I want to, anyways, the Beis Din decided, since he was a good guy, he did everything, you know, he got stuck, everything, he said, fine, we'll give you your what you decided, we'll let you go down poor without any hands. Oh, thank you so much. Guy comes into the world, right? Grows up a little bit. What do you think? The guy's really happy or bitter? He's bitter. He says, Hashem, what'd you do to me? Oh, you're a poor man. I have no arms. And no, it's not fair. What'd you do to me? Same guy. He was crying for this. He was crying for it. This is what he was begging to come down like that. He got his wish, and now he's complaining. There it is. Again, we don't see, we don't understand, we don't think, who knows that you're complaining about your matzah? Could be, very well, that is what you were crying for before you came down into this world. Right? We don't know, we don't understand. He says, the Sabbami the Vardak says something also incredible. He says, if you notice, in the world in general, are there more people with money or without money? More rich people or poor people? More poor people in the world. Most people aren't rich, right? Rich are a few. He says, you know why? He says, this is the reason. Because the neshama, before he comes down into the world, right, and he sees all the neshamas that were down here already go up, right, coming back, right? And they come back and they see the people that were rich, and they come back, like tsaras that they had, and nisyonis that they had over here in this world was unbelievable, right? The poor people, mela, they're, you know, lowly, nah, nothing, simple, pashut thing, they got not so great, not so much nisayan. So Sasharim says the greater is the nisayan for osher than oni. And the neshamas see this. So therefore, before they come down to the world, they say, oh, we want to go down as poor people. Please, please. You know, look at all these people coming back, these rich people coming back. And it's tsaras, nothing but tsaras. Let us down there and be back. Let us down poor. Right? And that's why there's mostly poor people in the world, the Sabbah Nivardak said. I mentioned also the Maisa of the Chafetz Chaim, that this boy had a shidduch read to him, and it's from this girl in this other town. So he goes to the Osivada town to, you know, check out the girl. So he comes back, and the Chafetz Chaim says, "Nu, how was it?" He goes, "Oy, gevalt." He says, "Rebbe," he says, the poverty in that girl's house. I've never in my life seen the poverty like that. So Chavetz Chaim said, "Okay, very good. That's one of the milas. Now, do you have any other milas before we get to the negative things?" In other words, he says that poverty. That's a mila. That's wonderful. That's the topic of us not understanding. There's also a well-known mice with the Ibn Ezra. Right, Ibn Ezra says there was once these two guys, and they were traveling, they sitting down, they're about to have their meal together, picnic. So, call them Reuven and Shimon, okay? Reuven, he pulls out two rolls, and Shimon pulls out, he has three rolls. Okay, so about to sit down to eat. All of a sudden, this third guy walks by, smells the rolls, and says, "Oh, you know, boy, I'm starving. Would you guys, you know, mind if I join you? I mean, I have no money in this. I'm hungry. Would you maybe mind, you know?" So Reuven Shimon there, you know, Bali Tztaka, you know, no problem. You know, Bali Chesed will be more than happy to help you. You can come and eat with us. We'll share with you, both share with you everything. Good. So they, you know, put all the buns together, and they share, all three of them, and they eat the meal. That's it. So the man said, "You know, I want to thank you guys so much, and I don't have that much money, but I'd like to pay you something, you know, for your generosity." And they said, no. And they said, "Yeah, no, I insist." He gives them 5 shekels, and he leaves. Okay, so now these Reuven Shimon have 5 shekels, and they're discussing how do we split up the money. Okay, again, Reuven had two rolls, and Shimon had 3 rolls. So Reuven says, "Look, we both, you know, split our food with this guy and everything, so we'll split. You know, we each take 2.5 shekels. Right? Split it in half-half." Shimon said, "Nothing doing. You know, you had only 2 rolls. I had 3 rolls, so you get 2 shekels, I get 3 shekels. So they're arguing back and forth. "No, chetzi, chetzi, no, 2, 3, back, forth." He says, "Okay, we'll take to the Rav." So he went to the Ibn Ezra, and they asked Ibn Ezra, "What should we do?" So he says, very simple. Reuven gets 1 shekel, Shimon gets 4 shekels. He says, "Rabbi, who made you a rabbi anyway?" "Well, that's suck. Okay, 50-50, okay, maybe 2, 3, but 1 and 4. Okay, well, Rabbi, where are you coming from, 1 and 4? So he says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "The Pashut Cheshbon." He says, "What?" He says, "Okay, let's take it step by step." He says, "Reuven, you had 2 rolls, right?" "Yeah." "Shimon, 3 rolls, right. Altogether, 5 rolls, right?" "Fine." And then this third guy came in, and you shared it together. Okay, so you had 5 rolls that you shared with 3 people. Okay, so in other words, as if you took each roll and divided it into 3, right? One for you, one for you, for you, right? Each one got a third of each roll. Okay, so you take the 5 rolls, divide each one into 3, you have 15/3. Okay, 15/3 altogether. Now everybody got 5/3. Reuven got 5/3, Shimon got 5/3, and the guy got 5/3. 5, 10, 15, those are 15/3, right? Good. Okay, so now make the simple cheshbon. Reuven started off with 2 rolls, okay? 3 parts in each roll, which is 6/3, okay? everybody ate 5/3, right? So he started with six thirds. He ate 5/3. How much is left? 1. Shimon, he had 3 rolls. Divide each roll into 3 again. That's 9/3. Okay, he also ate 5, but he ate 5/3. He had 9/3. He ate 5/3. What are you left with? 4/3. He gave away 4/3. So Reuben gave away 1/3. Shimon gave away 4/3. So Reuben should get 1 shekel, and Shimon should get 4 shekels. Very simple. Seven Ezra pointed out, he says, you see, a simple cheshbon, quote unquote, simple cheshbon, you know, of, you know, who gets what money, is like, can't be, it makes no sense. He says, and you're trying to understand your Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbon is in the world. You can't understand how they split the 5 shekels. You want to understand Hashem, you know. The, reminds me of, another idea similar. There's the Kotzker Rebbe, right? This when this Chassid Nebuch, he had a very tough life. He lost slowly to a 6-year-old daughter, and he was very bitter. And he had tainis, you know, against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he decided to take his claims, you know, to the Rebbe, to the Kotzker. So the Rebbe said, Rebbe, it's not fair. Why is it happening? I don't understand it. Why should I lose my daughter? Da 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 da. So the Kotzker didn't say anything. He says, let's sit and learn. Sit and learn? Okay. So he pulls out a Gemara, goes through a piece of the Gemara. He asks him a kasha. He asks a kasha on the Gemara, you know, asks the Chassid a kasha. And he's the Chassid's like, whoa, good kasha, let me think. Okay, I got it. And he gives him an answer. Kotzker says, very nice, good answer. Let's go on. Start learning a Tosfos. He says, see his Tosfos? I got a bomb kasha in his Tosfos, says the Rebbe. Yeah, what's the kasha? So he tells him the kasha. So the chassid thinks, whoa, that's very strong kasha. Let me think. He's going over and over there. And he goes, wait a minute. He says, I think I got the answer. And he tells him the answer. And of course he goes, very nice. Very nice. You're very sharp. That's a very good answer. So the Kotzker then turns to the chassid and says, let me ask you something. You know, I asked you this bomb kasha, let's say a few minutes ago on Tosfos, right? So, yeah. Why did you work so hard to try to find an answer to the, you know, this problem on Tosfos? Why didn't you just say, well, I guess that, you know, your question's a good question, there's no answer? Why did you just say, yeah, it's a very good question, you saw it was a good question, why didn't you say it's a good question and finish? Why did you work so hard to try to get an answer to that question? So he says, well, listen, Rebbe, he says, these are the words of the Bali Tosfos. Okay, they don't just say something dumb, right? Obviously, if it's a question of what they said, there must be an answer. Because they wouldn't just say something like that had a big question on it. These are the Bali Tosfos. There must be an answer. Said the Kotzker. So the Bali Tosfos is an answer, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no answer. You try so hard. Has to be an answer. Everything Hashem does also has to be an answer. Like this, Rav Shimon Miyaroslav, one of the Admorim, that he lived to be very old. And they asked him, how are you zocha to live to such a long life? And he said, very simple, you know. He says, everybody has questions. You know, questions on Hashem. Hashem, why are you doing this? Hashem, why are you doing that? Whatever. And questions. So, what happens? Hashem sometimes says, listen, you're so anxious to get answers? Fine, come upstairs, and I'll show you the answers. You come up here, and everything's clear. You know, you want answers? Come up. Oh, no, that's fine. You know, all of a sudden, so therefore he says, I never ask kashas on Hashem. Right? And I'm afraid he's going to say, the guy says, you want to come here? Come upstairs. So that's why I live to be so old. I don't ask questions, so Hashem's not going to invite me upstairs to show me the answer. And they say that, similarly, we say on Rosh Hashanah, we wish each other a Shana Tova Umesuka, right? A good and a sweet year. So along the same lines, they explain, what's this say? A good year, okay, what's a sweet? Why sweet? You know, we eat honey, you know, sweet. What's this idea of a sweet year? So they say that, because along the same lines we're saying, that a good year, of course we're going to have a good year. Why? Because everything Hashem does is good. Kol man David Rachaman, huh? L'tav avid. Whatever Hashem does is good. Good, for sure it is. As for Shalom sicknesses, whatever it might be, it's good. Meaning, this is what a person needs, it's kapar, whatever. Whatever it is, it's all for the good. That's for sure. But, like we just explained in great detail, we don't always understand. A lot of times we don't understand. Why is this? Why that? I don't understand it. Meaning, it's not sweet. It's not something I can, palatable for me. Right? I know it. Maybe I know, you know, my mind's supposed to be good, but it's bitter. It's bitter. Why is this happening? Why is it? I don't understand it. Right? Ultimately it's good, but I don't understand it. And therefore it's not sweet for me. So therefore we ask Hashem that we should have a year that's not only is it ultimately good, but that we should be able to see the good. It should be sweet to us. We shouldn't have to suffer. We shouldn't have to, it should go that, it's even, I can understand why, you know, it's good, it's sweet for me. They say the same word also we say in davening, v'sabbeini mutuvecha. Right? Hashem, you should satiate us with your good. So what's the idea of satiating with your good? So explain as a Gemara in Yoma that says a blind person is never satiated, right? Because if you don't see what you're eating, you know you don't feel satiated. You're eating and eating and eating. Okay, so therefore, that's what we're saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So otherwise, like we said, everything's for the good. Right, but I want to be able to see the good. I want to be able to the good. Not it's okay. It's good. I don't understand. I don't see it, but it's good. No, I want to be able to see it. In order to see it, meaning if I'm see it, then I'll be satiated. We said only seeing. If you're blind, if you can't see, you're not satiated. So v'sabeinu mituvecha, fill us, satiate us with your good. Meaning not that it should only be good, but I should be satiated. I should be able to see the good. If I can see it, then I can be satiated. So therefore, as we approach in a few hours Rosh Hashanah, we should therefore take to heart the lessons, a couple of lessons we learned tonight. Lesson, like we said, of making sure that we mar bereim, have a lot of friends and help a lot of people as much as we can. So there are a few hours left. And mar bitztaka, etc. And the more we're needed, the more Kodesh Baruch Hu will be forced to give us a good din. And realize that whatever does happen, Lamaisa, is all for the good. Everything's for the good. But ultimately, it's our wish that it's not only good, but we should be satiated with the good. That we should see the good, and then the good will be sweet to us. And as we wish each other, Ishana Tova Masuka, so we should all enjoy such a year of good that we can see and enjoy, a year of lots of Yiddish Nachas, Parnasa, Briyut, and all good things, Vein Ruchnias, Ben Megashmias, and we should all be signed and sealed for a year of, like we said, good, and in the Sifron of Tzadikim, Gemurim, where we can finally greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimheru V'Yameinu, Amen. Amen.